Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Friday, November 4th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we had talked yesterday about how pretty much all the games in the World Series to that up till through game four had not really been close or very exciting. And then we get game five, a 3-2 win by the Astros, who are now on the brink of eliminating the Phillies and winning their second World Series title. An exciting game, an edge of your seat, tense thriller there in Philadelphia as the Astros come through and get Justin Verlander his first ever World Series victory.
Yeah, Verlander gives up one run, four hits, five innings, and he pitched into trouble and out of trouble, Joe. I mean, he gives up the leadoff home run to Schwarber in the first inning. Pitches out of a bases loaded jam in the second. In the third, he's got two on and gets out of another jam. And in the fifth, you know, he's got Bryce Harper on second with two outs and gets out of that jam. So, you know, he earned his first World Series win for sure.
Yeah, he looked at times like he couldn't. He was struggling commanding his fastball, his high fastball. I wasn't using that as effectively as he had been earlier. Started throwing a lot more sliders and just said, "Hey, you know, here it is. I'm gonna go at you with sliders," and was really effective with that. We got to go back to Schwarber though. I see Schwarber hit that leadoff home run. You know he had he's had 5-6 home runs in the postseason already, and he hit 46 during the year. How different would the Guardians have looked with Kyle Schwarber somewhere in their lineup had they come through and been able to sign him during the offseason?
Oh, my goodness. God, I mean, that would have made a world of difference. I mean, this is a guy that's, you know, playoff tested. You know, he's been through all these postseason runs. You know, he's a natural power hitter, left-handed hitter. And I don't, but you know, I remember talking to the front office in Cleveland, and I don't think they were even interested in Schwarber. I know they, you know, that was not one of the guys they targeted. You know, they had a very narrow field of free agents that they were interested in, and Schwarber was not in that list as far as I know. And boy, what a difference that guy would have made.
Yeah, he really every year there's one or two free agent signings who are just, you know, not only just turn things around for themselves, but also for the franchise that they go to. And clearly Schwarber's the guy Philly needed this year. He's made all the difference down the stretch. So but he wasn't enough. His bat wasn't enough. Ultimately, at the end of the it was, you know, before we get to the end where, you know, there was a big exciting play at the end of the game, but Jeremy Peña, the rookie for Houston, has come through. And, you know, I say the rookie, but he certainly along the lines of what Stephen Kwan showed us this year, you know, doesn't present himself as a rookie, doesn't play like a rookie, and doesn't, you know, wilt in the big moment like you would expect a rookie to. He has stepped up. He's the ALCS MVP. Last night he hits a home run, and the Astros have relied on this guy. His defense, he's a Gold Glover. He comes through with you know, the RBI single up the middle in the first inning, and really he's everything that you want out of a replacement for Carlos Correa there at shortstop.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for much more. And, you know, he's the son of Geronimo Pena, who played for Cleveland and briefly in 1996. And so he's got some good bloodlines there. But, Joe, this guy, just listen to what he's done in the postseason. He had 250 in the ALDS, 4-for-16, one home run. In the ALCS, he had 353, 6-for-17, two homers, four RBIs. And so far in the World Series, he's hitting 381, 8-for-21, one home run, three RBIs. The guy, you know, rookies are supposed to be nervous in their first postseason. This guy has ice water in his veins. He's just having a great run when the Astros need it.
Yeah, he might not have been as consistent or as flashy during the regular season. Wasn't necessarily in the top of the conversation for rookie of the year. But right now, there's no more valuable rookie in baseball than Jeremy Pena out there. What he's been able to do, and really right now the Astros are on the brink of winning another World Series title because of him. Him and Chaz McCormick, who made one of, if not the defensive play of the postseason, it's right up there, going up against the wall in the ninth inning with Ryan Pressly protecting a one-run lead for Houston, and making a not necessarily a game-saving catch, but an important catch at the wall, leaping up at the height of his jump. This is a guy who scored 1,000 points as a high school basketball player in the Philadelphia area when he was growing up, and he comes back and turns the tables on the Phillies there in the ninth inning for the Astros.
Yeah, just a great catch against JT Realmuto. And Harper, I think, was coming up was the next guy to hit. So if Realmuto gets on, you know, who knows what happens. So just, really a clutch catch and, the kind of play that you need to win a 3-2 World Series game, and it just, kind of capped off a really like you were saying earlier, tense, well played World Series game.
Five out save for Pressly, for Ryan Pressly there. Dusty Baker, trusting his guys, realizing what he needs out of who he needs in a certain situation. And Pressly was the guy. I think that was his first, not necessarily his first multi-inning save, but definitely the first time he went to five outs to get a save this season. And Baker trusted his guys. He put him out there and got what he needed out of him.
Yeah, Joe, and that rainout, we thought, originally that it would help the Phillies pitching, and it did to a certain degree. Syndergaard didn't pitch that bad last night. He was only supposed to go through the lineup once. He gives up one run, but the guys that combined for the no-hitter In game four, three of those relievers came back and pitched last night. Brian Abreu, Rafael Montero, and of course Pressly. They had helped Javier complete the third no hitter in postseason history in game four, and they were still available the next last night. So that rainout kind of helped, was a two-edged sword for both teams.
Yeah, and it allows them with the off day, the travel day now, to be able to come back again in games 5-6 as needed too, because they get a night worth of rest as well. Bryce Harper, we mentioned him. He's the reason that the Phillies are where they are, and he's had moments in this World Series already where he's come through, but Last night, you know, not re essentially the last couple of games when they've needed him in big situations, Bryce Harper hasn't been there. Is that more Harper of a letdown, or that the Astros are maybe paying more attention and pitching him a little more carefully?
Yeah, I think Verlander really pitched him carefully. You know, he did not give him much of what I think Harper's walked twice against him. I know Verlander walked four guys. I think, Harper walked twice. And you could tell just, I don't know if it was, you know, Verlander was obviously struggling with his control, but he looked like he did not want to, give up a big hit right there with Harper at the plate.
Yeah, they can. You can tell that they just kind of said, we're not going to let Bryce Harper be the guy who beats us at this point in this series. So far, he's done so much already. So that leaves what you get Wheeler and Framber Valdez as the matchup in Game 5 on Saturday night, and the Astros with the chance to take care of business at home.
Yeah, definitely. It's a rematch of the Game 2. Game 2 meeting, which went to Valdez. Valdez was dominant in that game. 9 strikeouts over 6 1/3 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 3 walks. Wheeler struggled, 5 innings, 6 hits, 5 runs. And, they gave him the extra day, Wheeler, with the rain out. And now he's, he's pitching the game of his life right here. So, you're trying to fend off elimination. And Valdez has a chance for, to pitch the Astros into their second World Series championship, I should say, since 2017.
We can only hope that the Phillies come through and pick up the win and force them to play on Sunday, because the two greatest words in baseball postseason play are Game 7. And seeing a Game 7, I think it would only be appropriate for this World Series and this season and this postseason, the way things have gone. I think they owe it to baseball to have a Game 7 in a World Series, a winner-take-all situation. And, we've experienced it. We've experienced covering a Game 7 of the World Series, and it is just an electric feeling as soon as you set foot in the ballpark for that day. Certainly baseball deserves something like that.
Yeah, this has been a great series, and a Game 7 would top it off. I think right now, Joe, unless things change, it would be McCullers, going for Houston, and then Ranger Suarez going for the Phillies. And you'd have to say Suarez would have the upper hand there, because McCullers certainly wasn't really good, in his last start. When those two met, I think one in Game 3.
Yeah, it was the situation where McCullers may or may not have been tipping pitches.
Yeah,
accidentally or whatever. And I certainly, if he would come out and give up another 5 home runs, that would be a huge storyline. But you got to get there first. You got to get through Game 6 and get Philly on the board, and we'll see what happens. So,
hey Joe, this is how close this series has been. The Astros got a 3-2 lead. Houston has scored 18 runs. The Phillies have scored 17.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah, and like we said, there were the earlier games in this series, they were being won 5-0, 4-0. They were all not necessarily close, tight games, but the run differentials were about the same. So it's very, very interesting to see how things have shaken out, and we'll certainly keep an eye over the weekend on how things go, and have something to talk about on Monday. We'll have a new World Series champion come Monday morning, and that's sort of leads us into the next sort of point or topic that we are here to discuss today, the off season. After this weekend, baseball's off season kicks into sort of the high gear, the hot stove situation, and free agency, player movement. You've got contracts and 40-man rosters to deal with. All the big dates sort of get locked in once the end of the World Series clicks in, And some of the big ones for the Guardians, I know last year there was the date where you had to set your 40-man roster. You have to make your additions to the 40-man roster. And that was a big day for Cleveland. We didn't, I mean, we realized it at the time. We didn't sort of necessarily realize it, realize just how much at the time. But the Guardians made what? They added 11 players to the 40-man roster around this time last year. And that turned out to be significant because 17 made made their major league debut for, or was it 16 or 17, made their major league debut during the season. And some of those guys were among the additions at that deadline.
Yeah, I mean, that was like an unprecedented move. I remember, you know, Chris Antonetti saying he couldn't remember, you know, ever adding, you know, 11 players to the 40 man. And they basically emptied the farm system of, you know, all their top prospects, all the players that were eligible for the Rule 5 draft. And then it turned out that there was no Rule 5 draft because of the lockout. And but I think they wanted to protect those. They were going to protect those guys anyways. And now there will be a Rule 5 draft at the end of the winter meetings next month. So they're going to have to it's going to be really interesting to see what this front office does, who they protect, who's left over, who was not protected, and who is now eligible, you know, to be added to the 40 man or to be claimed in the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah, I think the biggest example, the biggest sort of glaring example is Oscar Gonzalez, who was left off the 40-man roster at that time last year, but re-signed as a minor league free agent. He was immediately re-signed. There was no the way that the front office explains it, there was you know, no chance that he was gonna go elsewhere in as a minor league free agent. But had that Rule 5 draft taken place, they more than likely would have lost him. Somebody would have taken him.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
There's always a chance that I guess when Antonetti and Chernoff were asked about the roster additions and the deadlines this year, they were sort of resigned. They almost sounded resigned to the fact that, you know, we know that we have a loaded minor league system and that there's somebody out there, there's a talented player out there who's going to have to be exposed and might get picked up. And, you know, you're never happy about it, but it's sort of the cost of doing business when you've got so many good prospects in your minor league system.
Yeah, you know, and every year it happens, it seems to happen, especially to teams like Cleveland who, you know, do not, you know, are not big players in the free agent market, do not make, you know, blockbuster trades, that they develop their own pitching, they develop their own position players. And there's only 40 spots to protect, Joe, and obviously some guys are left out in the cold. You know, we've seen it. Anthony Santander is the guy that sticks in my mind. You know, this was a guy that was coming off a big year in A-ball. But you know, I think he'd hit 20 home runs, something like that, but it had had shoulder surgery that, but that did not stop the Orioles from drafting him in the Rule 5 pick in the rule as a Rule 5 pick. And he's turned into, you know, a legitimate everyday outfielder for them. So, you know, it happens and it's going to happen again this winter, I would imagine.
Yeah, there and it's interesting to see some of the names of guys who are eligible and who are out there. I know Angel Martinez is a guy who is on the he is out in the Arizona Fall League right now, competing out there, sort of the finishing league out there for the fall. And he's a guy who I believe is up against that deadline, needs to be added to the roster. You know, there are names out there and talented players who, if we know about them, then certainly the other 29 teams in the league have them on their radar.
Yeah, and you know, that's it's kind of an interesting game of cat and mouse. You know, Cleveland usually does a really good job of protecting the guys that they really want to protect. And but you know, it, you know, somebody always gets left off, and you know, it you know, sometimes, you know, it comes back to haunt you. And you know, it's you always get a chance, you know, when a team does draft somebody, you know, an unprotected player off of a team's roster, they have to keep them in the big leagues for at least 90 days that year, you know, the following year. And if they don't, they have to offer him back to their club for half the price. I think, what is it? I think it might be $1 million, or I can't remember what
it's $100,000. Yeah. Buyback. So
100,000, yeah. You have to offer him back for 50.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, you know, and, you know, a long time ago, Joe, I remember, Toronto drafted Kelly Gruber off the Indians roster unprotected. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sure why they ever left Gruber off the unprotected, but that front office was really happy. They were like puffing their chest out saying, see, we do have good minor league players. And Gruber turns into an all-star third baseman for the Blue Jays. And it didn't, you know, it didn't correspond. You know, you were supposed to protect that guy. That was your future. But, you know, they were kind of happy that somebody had bothered to look at their farm system and take a guy like Gruber. So, you know, but I don't think Antonetti and Chernoff are in that mode right now. I think every time they lose a player, it kind of hurts them a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, they've made pretty good decisions when it comes to the Rule 5 draft thus far. You know, taking Trevor Stephan and adding him to the roster 2 years ago, that was a pretty big deal, pretty big move. They kept him on the roster all year last year through ups and downs, and then this past season he blossomed into a dominant reliever, and I think exactly what they had hoped he would become when they took him in the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah, just a huge move on that front. I'm sure the Yankees are kicking themselves over that, leaving him unprotected.
The number one way you could tell is because every reporter during that Division League series wanted to talk to Trevor Stephan and ask the Guardians, managers and coaches and everybody about Trevor Stephan. They know what they lost. The writers certainly know what they lost when they were dealing with a scarcity of arms in the bullpen at the end of the season. They realized how badly they would have needed a guy like a Trevor Stephan.
Yeah, and you're right, Joe. The Guardians handled him, you know, really, they handled him just the right way. They kept him on the roster in 2021. They didn't pitch him in, you know, kind of high leverage situations. And this year they eased him into the back end of the bullpen. And, you know, he did a great job. Just, really a big, big season for them and an important season for them.
Yeah, it speaks to not only the good decision making of the front office, but then trusting Terry Francona and Carl Willis and Brian Sweeney to sort of nurture Stephan along and realize, yeah, this is a young guy, and you know, he didn't have any experience pitching above Double A when he made his debut with the when he made the opening day roster and made his debut with the club last year in 2021. But you know, they sort of had to realize they had to weather some ups and downs with him, and then when they got him to his sort of second spring training with the club, they knew they had something special coming into the year, and they used him appropriately, and then he really took off once they settled into his role. And now you're Trevor Stephan coming into year three with this club, your confidence has to be sky high.
Yeah, and just, you know, big strong right-hander, you know, what struck out what just a ton of people, like 89 people, I think, had 82 strikeouts in 63 2/3 innings, Joe. I mean, he was dominant. I mean, he gave up some hits. The opposition hit .238 against him, but you know, when they needed him, he, you know, he kind of slammed the door. He was definitely a big piece of that bullpen.
Some of the other machinations that get kicked into gear in this upcoming week, once the World Series ends, you know, free agents, all the players who are eligible for free agency all become free agents within, you know, those first 5 days there. Austin Hedge is really the only free agent among the Guardians regulars. He'll need to be they'll need to make a decision on whether they offer him the qualifying offer, which is like something like $19.5 million. I am pretty certain that Austin Hedges won't be receiving a qualifying offer. So they'll have to make a decision on whether they can, you know, work with him and get him back in the fold, or if they want to move on in a different direction there. And that leaves open some possibilities. You know, do you bring back a Luke Maley on a discount? Do you ride with Bo Naylor behind the plate, or do you go out and get another sort of stopgap veteran until Naylor is ready to take over full time?
Yeah, that's really an interesting question that they've got to they have to find an answer to. You know, we really didn't see much of Naylor at the big league level. He certainly had a, you know, kind of a strong season at Double A and Triple A. You know, 21 home runs, 20 stolen bases, ran the pitching staffs at both levels really well. The question is he ready to be a number one guy, or do you have to bring back, you know, Hedges and, you know, is he the starter, and is a Bo Naylor the, you know, sit behind him and learn, or do you have Bo Naylor go back to AAA and play every day? And then, kind of when he gets hot and when he, you know, kind of, you know, when they need him, they bring him up and give him the job. So it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, those will be decisions that are coming early next week. And, you know, we'll also get the announcements on finalists for rookie, manager, Cy Young, and MVP. We'll find out those finalists on Monday. By the end of the week, we'll find out the Platinum Glove winners and the Team Gold Glove Award. So should be a not necessarily a super busy week, but we'll start to get things in motion for this off season, and all that points towards you know, a couple months from now when we get back at it with spring training. But a lot to do between now and then. Hoynes, that's going to wrap it up for today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll be back with you on Monday to talk to you then.
Good deal, Joe.